We are going to read the Christmas story at this time from Isaiah 9, first of all, and then from Luke 2. So if you'd like to follow along, Isaiah 9 has the prophecy of Jesus coming, a glorious vision of the Messiah, Jesus the Christ born on Christmas Day. So we want to read that first of all. Familiar words, I trust, to us as they are central in the Christmas story, Isaiah 9, beginning at verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged a nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as soldiers rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders. And we'll talk about that. There's a yoke that burdens us. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. Why? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal or the desire, the plan of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So that's Isaiah 9. And then the story of Christmas from Luke 2. We've been looking at different aspects of the Christmas story, but just to read it together from Luke 2, the most familiar Christmas account. Luke chapter 2, it says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." We'll think about the Christmas story. Our text is from the letter of Galatians, chapter 4. Just one verse in Galatians 4, thinking about the Christmas story, it says in Galatians 4, verse 4, when the time had fully come, or at just the right time, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. So God sent his son at just the right time. People of God, we come together this morning, and as we do so, we think, of course, on Christmas Day about the Christmas story. There's different ways of thinking about the Christmas story. One way can be that it illustrates a reality that we experience in our lives. It illustrates some of the chaos and the uncertainty of life. And that, in terms of our reading from Galatians 4, it talks about we are living under a particular law. And I suggest to you, you could see the Christmas story in light of Murphy's Law. Have you heard of Murphy's Law? Ed Murphy was an aerospace engineer working in the States. He was in charge of safety on the work site. And he came up with this law. Here it is, Murphy's Law. If anything can go wrong, it will, and at the worst possible moment. That was his experience in the workplace. He was trying to make sure everybody was safe, and so things would happen, and people would get hurt. And that just was, in the end, he was for many years working and trying to keep everybody safe, and along the lines, in the workplace, something would happen. Oh, no, at just the worst time, something would happen, and there you were stuck again, or someone was hurt again. If you look at the Christmas story, you could feel that it applies in this case. Joseph and Mary are dealing with a hard circumstance to begin with, the story of Mary becoming pregnant and how Joseph deals with that. That's a definite, unexpected, difficult situation. Then at the very same time, as they're working through that, Caesar Augustus declares that everyone needs to be taxed. And so everyone needs to be registered. Well, why now? They're just working, trying to work through this whole pregnancy thing and what it means. And now they have to travel to Bethlehem. And so at the worst possible time, this government decree comes down. Isn't life like that? One thing happens, and then the next thing. And then they make their way to Bethlehem, and there's no room for them to stay. She's pregnant, it's been a hard journey, but wouldn't you know it, if anything can go wrong at well, and at the worst possible moment, there's no room for them, and so they have to stay in this animal shelter, and boy, life is hard and gets harder. And then, right there, of all the times, contractions start. Now, they knew it was close. But a couple weeks earlier, a couple weeks later, oh, come on. Here, now, in this cave, her water breaks. Oh, if anything could go wrong, it will. And at the worst possible moment. You have a law that tries to describe, that describes a reality that in this world, you can look at it that way. There's just chance and fate and bad luck, lots of bad luck, and one thing to the next, and the Christmas story can seem like that's the law that's guiding the situation. And that resonates with us in our lives often too. Things are going along and then something happens. And you wonder, things are chaotic. Things are happening by chance. This is just bad luck. And that we kind of experience that. The car breaks down, the cell phone doesn't work, and it all just happens at the worst possible time. Even things like the funeral that is coming up for the Beale family, a funeral around Christmas. Ah, why didn't it happen earlier or later, but now? And so life is like that. Things are just like that. We live under that kind of law of fate and chance, and things happen like that, and you're just kind of waiting for the next thing to happen. If you feel like that, if you experience things like that and actually receive and think through things like that, then I have good news for you this morning. Because the Christmas story has nothing to do with Murphy's Law. The Christmas story is the Word of God building into a world of very deep hopelessness, where you might think only Murphy's Law is in control. And it shows us clearly God is in control. Galatians 4, verse 4. When the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, Murphy's Law, feeling totally chaotic and out of control living, to redeem us, to save us from living in that kind of fearful existence. So the Christmas story is not a hard luck story of chance or circumstance. It's a very precise working out in every detail of God's perfect plan of salvation. That's the Christmas story, showing us God is in control. And what is that plan? It's God's great and glorious plan, seen already in Isaiah and worked out through history and fulfilled in Jesus Christ. God at work, calling people home to live in the assurance of his plan for them, in his working out things in their life to his honor and glory. And so we can see the story again. Mary gets pregnant unexpectedly because her child is the very Son of God. Not accident, not other circumstances, it's God breaking into a world of chance and chaos and uncertainty. It's very precise. It's very exact. It's God coming to save. And at exactly the right time, God puts it in Caesar's mind to have a census. And Caesar thinks he's in control. He's the God of all the earth. He's the Roman emperor. But he is simply doing the will of the true God, who is planning things exactly so that through the census, Joseph and Mary would go back to Bethlehem, which is exactly the place where their lineage is from, which is the lineage of God's gracious work through David. And so this is the exact spot they need to be. God is also fulfilling his word in Micah 5, so we can trust in his word, because it says in Micah 5, the Savior is going to be born in Bethlehem. And so it's not by chance at all. And though the town is crowded and there is no room and they have to stay in this animal stall, showing exactly what God says, Jesus comes humbly into this world, not in the palaces of kings, but to the least and the last and the lost of us. And we have to admit, we are all just poor sinners. And so Jesus is born in that stable. In God's mind, that's five-star accommodation. That's exactly where he needs to be born, so that we understand what he has come to do and who he has come to save. Me, a sinner. And Mary's contractions begin. Her water breaks, not at the worst possible time, but at the exact time, the perfect time, the Savior will be born. Under God's law, not Murphy's law. Under God's redeeming plan. And then to see that and to receive that this Christmas, for our lives as well, that all things are under the precise control of God, working out things according to his plan and purpose. Romans 8:28 tells us all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And that's still the case today. Our gathering together here this morning, it's not an accident that you are here. God planned that you would come here this morning so you could be encouraged by his word. God calls us into his presence today that you could be encouraged. He wants to bring us more fully into his presence and to have us step back, step away from the feeling that we can get distant from him and that we're just out in the world and things happen and it's just bad luck and we're just worried and lost and confused and afraid. Christmas with God, with Jesus, changes our perspective. Sees God at work, sees God in control, and that's the glorious hope we share. That's the glorious truth we celebrate. God is at work in a saving way in a world that looks out of control. I watch the news, you watch the news, the oil prices go down. There's nothing we can do. The dollar goes down. Nothing we can do. Your job is in jeopardy. Nothing you can do. It's out of control. It's out of your control. Bad luck. Fate. Chance. Too bad. No. Jesus says, come home to me. All of these things, I know, I understand, I control. And if we step inside a life of faith in God, if we make God the center of our life, all of these other things start to fade. Their worries, their overwhelming sense of, oh no, what's going to happen? I don't know. Everything's out of control. All of that fades. And the Savior comes in. Jesus who comes to us. He is in control. He is the Lord. He gives us peace and joy. To have him at the center is to be at home in our faith, at home in the Lord. That's the wonderful gift of Christmas, a glorious homecoming in our spirit, in our soul. And we can live out of that every day in confidence, trusting in God, trusting in Jesus as our Savior, and celebrating, even as the shepherds celebrated, where the angels came to them in Luke 2, 13 and 14 and brought a message that the shepherd's life was hard and it was filled with hard luck and chance. But here is God coming. And they celebrate in his presence, in his power, in their life. Isaiah himself, as he was looking from years before to what God was going to do, how the plan was going to work itself out. Isaiah 9, verses 2 to 6, the beautiful light of Jesus coming in a dark world, the glory of the angels, the true joy, verse 3, beyond anything we could experience, the assurance of peace with God, all in this precious, precious child, to make that our home. To have that confidence. So the question for us this morning, this Christmas morning, is where are you going to make your home? Where is that center for you? Without God, without Jesus, without faith, you are alone in a big, scary, uncertain world. You are homeless. You are living on the street. And many people are like that. They have no sense of God, of faith, of hope, of assurance at all. And they just try to manage day by day. We are invited to come home, to make our home with God, to be at home with him. To trust in him, to live with him. And as a church, too, we seek to be God's home, God's presence, where people can come every week just to be fed and encouraged and strengthened and together as a fellowship to encourage one another, to be a family of faith. That's the home that God has prepared, a center of love and grace in Jesus. And you are invited to join again this morning, to make this the center of your living, of your life. We join together in singing glory to God in response to what He has done. We see it again as we join the people all over the world who are celebrating today. And we are going to be singing both in the Dutch and the English, Glory to God in the Highest, the angel song, as we see God as our Savior in Jesus Christ.